Good morning, everyone. Nice to be back at the San Juan Homa. I thought we could draw this morning from the book we're finishing up, Path to Shiva. Path to Shiva is taking the key concepts in the Master Course Trilogy and reducing them to 68 short lessons designed for Hindu teens. So it'll be a really useful book for studying everything because it's all in one place and the language is not too advanced. When Gurudeva speaks, when you punctuate it, you know, you're going along and then you have you have to put in commas for the parenthetical and then you have to put in an M dash because the idea changes here. And it can be pretty complicated grammar. This is okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, period. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, period. Very simple sentence structure. Some of the words may have to be looked up, but the sentence structure is very simple compared to how Gurudeva speaks. The first lesson is the same idea as the first lesson in Dancing with Shiva. As you know, I've made that point many times that you would think a book called Dancing with Shiva, the first chapter would be on Shiva, right? No, the first chapter is on you. First chapter is on you as a soul, as Shiva being within you. Oh, it definitely starts off on a different direction than you would have thought it would intellectually. When someone starts on the spiritual path, they ask, "Who am I and where did I come from?" They inwardly know they are more than just another person with a particular name who was born in a specific place. They sense that they are more than their body, mind, and emotions. They want to understand, did I exist before I was born? Will I exist after death? The answer given in Saivite Hinduism is that we are each a divine soul on a wondrous journey. We are an immortal body of light that has lived many lives, had many bodies and personalities. Our soul was created by God Shiva out of himself, like sparks flying forth from a fire. Like the sparks and the fire, we are both the same and different from Shiva, our source. We live within his boundless creation, this unthinkably vast cosmos which is filled with his divine presence. Shiva is the life energy in the birds, in the fish, and in the animals. His being flows through all we see and experience. Our Vedic rishis have assured us that God is the life of our life. We are all beautiful children of God Shiva. We are already one with him this very moment. We came from God, live in God, and are evolving into oneness with God. Shiva created each of us in a perfect state, but we have to discover that perfection within us to be whole. By seeing the life energy in all creatures and in all people, we are seeing God Shiva in action. By drawing close to him, we draw nearer to our immortal soul. Wise men say he is everything, and he is in everything. And then each lesson has a quote from Gurudeva. Rishis proclaim that we are not our body, mind, or emotions. We are divine souls on a wondrous journey. We came from God, live in God, and are evolving into oneness with God. If you haven't heard this before, it goes a long way toward giving you a good concept of yourself, right? I'm a divine being. This sounds pretty good. I'm not my body, mind, and emotions. I'm that which is inside of them, so to speak. Body, mind, and emotions are, go through what they go through, but the divine being within is perfect all the time. So we want to identify with that divinity, that's what the lesson is pointing out. And then it gives the specific suggestion. Talking about God is the life of our life, very close in us and in others. There's nothing closer to you than your life, right? Can you find anything that's closer to you than your life? No, right? The closest thing is your life. The life energy within you is the closest thing to you. It is you. So to say that the source of that is God, it's really, you know, putting God as close as you can to you. That's the point. It's, God can't be any closer. So instead of thinking of God in the external sense, this is, which is, has its place in theism, this is having us think of God as so close, the closest thing is God, because God is the life of our life. Those of you who have explored Tamil dictionaries, I'm sure have been impressed by the fact of how many theological words there are for Saivism in the Tamil dictionary. It's just kind of overwhelming. You just, I think it's called the ten possible relationships of the soul to God. It goes through all 10 of them, for example. So this word is uyirkuyir. Uyir is life or soul. So uyirkuyir is God, or God as the life of life. So there's a word for God as the life of life, which is uyirkuyir, or life of life, uyirkuyir. Oh, the Tirumandaram uses that phrase. I won't read the Tamil. It's going through the four padas, starting with jnana. I'll read it and then we'll talk about it. Being the life of life is splendorous jnana worship. Beholding the light of life is great yoga worship. Giving life by invocation is external worship. Adoration that displaces anger is charya worship. Oh, that last one, adoration that displaces anger is charya worship. For some reason, our original translator, Dr. B. Natarajan, didn't want to say that. No, he fudged. But he didn't want to talk about anger, but that's what it says. And so the basic challenge that we face is overcoming anger. That's what it's telling us. That's the starting point. We have to really look at ourselves and ask, you know, are we getting angry? If we're getting angry a lot, then it's obvious. If we're getting angry now and then, it's not so obvious. We may not be seeing it. This is making a very simple suggestion that devotion, adoration that displaces anger is charya worship. So to overcome anger, we need to increase our devotion. Sense of love of the deity. If our love of the deity is strong enough, then we won't get angry. It just displaces it. One thing moving another out. So anger is there, then Say you have a bucket, and you fill that bucket with enough devotion, the anger is displaced, goes away. The two things are not compatible. You can't be angry and devotional at the same time. So you're displacing it. Gurudeva also gives another key in Dancing with Shiva. I think it's right up front there, maybe lesson two. It's the idea of dancing with Shiva, which is another form of devotion. Being able to accept what is as what should be. If you're not accepting the music, you can't dance to it, right? You have to accept the music, say, okay, this is the music, then I can dance with it. But you have to accept it. So you have to accept life as it is in all its imperfection and then move with it. So if you don't accept it, that's one of the causes of anger. You're not willing to accept what has naturally happened to you because of past karmas. You're not willing to accept it. I don't want this. I don't deserve this. That is what you created. So we have to blend with the music, accept the music, accept life as it is, and then that reduces getting angry. Well, that's Charya. Giving life by invocation is external worship. So that's Kriya. So that's the idea, you know, avahana. You're giving life. You're bringing the deity into the murti. So you learn to give life by external ritual. But that's, of course, taking you closer to the deity. Beholding the light of life is great yoga worship. Notice how carefully I enunciate that, because it's easy to, light of life, it's easy to, if you say it too quickly, it doesn't come out right. The light of life. What is the light of life? Well, Gurudeva explains, this is inner light, of course, not external light. What causes inner light? Inner light is the friction between actinic or your life in its original form, and odic, or grosser energy. So it's a friction. Two things are rubbing together, producing sparks, because they're so different. They're not the same. One is very subtle and one is gross, and the friction between them causes the inner light. So if you can see the friction between them, you're deeper into pure actinic force or the pure life. Because, you know, say you're one half that and you're one half the odic, and that's why you're seeing light. The light's not the highest experience, inner light, because you've still got odic force present. As long as you're seeing light, you haven't given up the odic force. You have to go beyond light to be pure actinic force. And so you want to be the actinic force or be the life of life. So that's what jnana is. Being the life of life is splendorous jnana worship, meaning we're just the pure actinic force without anything else. There's no light present. We're beyond light. We're the original life. And then that life gets out into actinodic and odic. And then the process passes. You can see inner light. So you have pure life, which is actinic, mixed, which is actinodic, and gross, which is odic. In the tattvas, they call it shuddha, pure, actinic, shuddha-shuddha, pure, impure, and ashuddha, impure. So that's the words in the tattvas for actinic, actinodic, and odic. Same thing. Gurudeva just created his own words. But you can also say shuddha, 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 and ashuddha are the three kinds of energy. So it's a very interesting study, this whole idea of the life of life. It definitely takes you within, doesn't it? It takes you in, and you can see how it's a core Saiva Siddhanta principle. It's right in the Tirumandaram. You know, you start just building devotion, and that gets rid of anger, and then you learn to invoke life, which is Kriya in the Murti, and then you learn to behold, which means see inner light, see the light of life. You learn how in yoga to see the light, and then if you go deeply enough into the light, you get beyond light, which is beholding the pure life. Being the life of life is splendorous jhana worship. So there's no duality there. You just are that pure life. So all that's in lesson one. 67 more to go. A wonderful day.